Touche. That was wonderful. That was awesome. Did you want me to pray? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are the God of mercy, Lord, and repentance. And we just thank you for Shay even just bringing up something in her life, Lord, which I'm sure we have all experienced something in our life also, Lord, that we can repent and you will forgive. We just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, Lord, that you know what brings healing in our soul, Lord, and that's forgiveness, whether we forgive someone else or someone forgives us, and we just thank you for that. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, the announcements this week. Monday, tomorrow night, men's fellowship at 6 o'clock right here. All men are invited. It's open to all men. Wednesday is prayer meeting here at 7 o'clock. There again, anyone in the church is invited to come for prayer at 7. Now, this next section I'm going to read because Shay wrote it out so beautifully, and I don't want to forget anything. So it says, every year we have an annual business meeting where we get to review what has happened in the last year in finances and in programs. This year's meeting is on February 27th, so mark it on your calendar. Everyone connected to this church is encouraged to attend, whether you are a member or not. Anybody can come. We will share a light lunch right after church, then talk about what happened among us in this past year. Voting privilege will be reserved for active members of the church. And we also have written reports of various ministries and minutes from last year's meeting. And the congregation was emailed copies of these last week, but there are also printed copies in the foyer for you to take and read them over before the meeting. And then if you have any questions or concerns, you can bring them up then.
I think I'm on. All right. I would like to ask our brother Tom Brazell, would you come up, brother? And you can sit or you can stand, but this is a faithful man who needs prayer, and I'd invite you in the body if you would like to come and pray for our brother. He had a little scare this week. Turned out to not be as bad as thought. However, we want to lift him up. And this man, he is a blessing in the kingdom of God. And he is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And God is not done with this man. He is not done. And we had a little joking talk about retirement this morning before service. And we're going to pray for God to retire Tom. Not to retire, but to give him new tires. Retire him. Yeah. Give him some new treads. Yeah. He's got some more miles.
Yeah. Another transmission.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so we want to pray, and we want to pray that God would dissolve that blood clot, and that God would, if he wants to provide through that insurance company, then we give that to him. Or God, if you want to miraculously heal him and restore him today, God, we're asking and praying for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lay hands on this brother. Father, and God, it is time for him to retire. Oh, God. Rejuvenate, re-anoint. God, in the name of Jesus, Oh, that you would do a work of restoration, God, that blood clot in his lung would dissolve. Dissolve in the name of Jesus. We speak to that blood clot, dissolve. Dissolve and be gone in the name of Jesus. Father, it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we even sang about today. Your wonderful name, your matchless name. Lord, deliver this brother. Deliver him from that. God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray, Lord, if he needs favor from that insurance company, Lord, let it happen. God, however you choose to work that out, provide for his healing, provide for his deliverance. And Lord, we pray that you would extricate the every last remnant and crumb of this coronavirus, Father, from his body in the name of Jesus. All of it, every residual thing in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, Lord, this couple still has a lot of gas in their tank, Lord. And Father, even as they're looking again at this missions trip, God, this thing has not stopped them, and we proclaim in Jesus' name that it will not stop them. Father, we pray that you would use this to fill them up, refire them, and send them with your anointing, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, pour it out on our brother. Pour it out on our brother and our sister, Lord, both of them, upon their house.
Oh, God, fresh fire.
Oh, Rabakita Rabashatarai. Oh, Ramababatarai. Oh, Rabakeshitai. Oh, Rabapatere. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this brother, Lord, and his wife. Thank you. They're gifts to the body, Lord. Oh, bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to you, Lord Jesus. My brother, you are a blessing.
Appreciate it so much.
You are a blessing. Oh, Sister Judy, I love you. You're awesome. Don't put it down yet, though, because in the next 10 seconds, it could go out again. If you don't know, Judy's holding the take the offering sign. It's hilarious. It's just, if she doesn't wave that, I forget. Do you hear the rumble? The roar of truck engines? Oh, what is God doing in the earth? It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. And please don't believe everything you hear on your TV set. There are people who are standing up for their rights and for freedom in the earth. And I want to pray for them today. I want to pray that God will give them grace. And for people who want nothing more than to peacefully let their voice be heard and exercise their rights. Let's lift them up. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I think about these truckers in Canada, Father, and I don't know what it has cost them to do this. Father, it has cost them dearly. And Lord, the Liberal government, it has rattled their cage and they're angry and they're upset. But Father, they've done nothing but exercise the right that their forefathers fought and gave so much of their life for. And Father, in our country, we're hearing that roar as well. God, we pray that as the hymn says, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. God, let the sound of freedom ring in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, break the yoke of liberal oppression, God, in the name of Jesus, that has brought a blight upon our land. in the name of right, human rights that has brought murder and abortion and destruction of families and lives and property and so much, Lord, that is wrong. God, in Jesus' name, we pray, Father, that you would protect those truckers. Father, that you'd help them. Father, and Lord, I know that some of them are Christians. I doubt that they all are. But Father, we pray that they would not only stand up for their rights, but they would stand up for godly principles and values. God, that you would speak to them and reach them as well, Father. And Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. I've been singing that with my students at school. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. Oh, we sing that just about every music class this month. We're singing it, and when I hear that, it resonates in my spirit. Oh, let from every mountainside, let freedom ring. God, help us. And that precious freedom that lots of people fought and died for is really being challenged today. So I encourage you to pray that God will continue to move in a mighty way in our country. I'd invite you, if you have your Bible today, to turn to Romans 7. I do have it on the screen, but you know, sometimes it's a little hard to see. And yes, Judy, I told you don't put it down, right? Brother Ray, would you help? Isn't that hilarious? I'd have motored right on by it again. It's your pastor's ADD mind. I hate to call on you every week, but you're just so accessible. Oh, wait, you got your... I didn't give you your favorite one.
Oh, that's...
I gave it to Ray.
We'll put Ray over there.
Brother Ray, would you like to pray over the offering? Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today, Father, Lord, and for your preserving power, your keeping power, your providing in finances and health, Father, in every way. We thank you, Lord, for those who have come and for the gifts that will be given here, Father. We pray that you would guide this body in their use. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And while the offering's being taken, I would just encourage you again to take some time and look at those reports for the annual church business meeting. There's really good stuff in there as I leafed through. It's really good. Shay, thank you for compiling all of that. It's a blessing. They're right out on the table here. Don't walk by the table. Make sure you pick up that stuff. There's really good things there. And there's I just want to highlight a couple things. If you're in this body, we want everybody to find their fit. Do you know how important it is to find your fit in the body of Christ? And we want to make sure that not only does a square peg not try to get forced into a round hole, you know, I've seen that happen, but we want people to be able to find a hole. We want them to find some place to fit into. And if you're in the body of Christ, you need to find a fit. Can I encourage you to pray over that? We have a few things that you could help us with a fit. We have Adam Wasdorp back there. Adam waved everybody. And Adam does faithfully so often work at that ProPresenter. But, you know, he does it almost every week. Harrison, God bless him. Sometimes Shay jumps in. But he does that. And it would be lovely if we could train some more people that do that. And oh, if you can read. Dakota, I threw Dakota on it one Sunday. I said, dude, just take it. And he had never run it before, and he just went, oh, click, 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 click. It's easy. It's not difficult. We set it up for you. You don't have to be computer literate to do it. But if you'd like to, that's a place of service for you. I've had some people saying, boy, we used to have lots of fellowships in the church, and we'd love to have more fellowships. Well, you know, you got to have people to work on that. And one thing that we'd like to do, just as an easy way to do it, is maybe have some fellowship right after our service. At our old, the church we used to attend, Pioneer Christian Fellowship, every Sunday after church, they had the coffee bar. And they had coffee and tea, and sometimes, if it was really nice people who were serving there that week, they brought cookies or muffins, you know, there was good stuff. But I thought, would that be a fun thing to do maybe once a month? As we leave, we take a moment and be able to linger, have a cup of coffee, visit with some people. Maybe you'll get to pray for somebody. Maybe you'll find out a need. Maybe you'll get to encourage somebody. But have those few minutes to spend with somebody else before you head out the door. And it would just be a nice time. But I actually thought I would do that this week. And then I thought, how am I going to run at the end of my sermon from here to there and plug in the coffee pot? And I thought, yeah, Carol couldn't leave children's way with it. No, this cannot happen. So they're lovely ideas, but we need people. So if you feel like, gee, I would love to do that, and you're not already doing 18 other things in the church, what's another thing? Pile another thing on people. We'd love to have your help, and they're not difficult areas, and you know what? It would be really fun. It'd be fun. So I want to encourage you, if you'd like to help with that, probably once a month I'd like to do that. It'd be fun maybe even to try it next week. But we do need some help with that. So pray. Say, God, where is my fit? If I'm part of the body of Christ, then that means I'm a hand, or I'm a foot, or I'm an eye, or I'm an ear, or I'm a knee, or you're something. And if it doesn't fit and if it doesn't work, the whole body isn't going to work right. So you pray and believe God to find that fit for you, would you? Can you do that? That's a little encouragement from your pastor. But there's nothing more wonderful than having a chance to serve. Those of you who serve and do stuff, there's joy in that. There's joy in it. There really is. Oh, it's wonderful. You know, Stephen was a servant. You can be turning to Romans. I'm really going to get into my message now. We took the offering. Oh, God help Pastor Dave and his attention deficit disorder. It's just so true. If you get to know me for very long, you'll find out that it's all true. If you hear things about me, they're all true. Oh, I have this up on the screen, but you may find it easier to read. I do the best I can. I actually split this into two slides, but it's still a little tough to see. So, and I don't want to make it so easy for you that you don't have to look at your Bible. Anyway, Romans 7. 14 through 25, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. Boy, isn't that the truth. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Oh, can you hear that heart? Do you ever feel like that? Oh, some days I say, God, What kind of a horrible person am I? Oh, who shall rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Oh, praise God for verse 25. Oh, what would we do without it? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. So there's the struggle. Do you hear it in Paul? Now, Paul, the great apostle Paul, the great man that God appeared to on the road and who was used so mightily, is saying, I have problems. Oh, hallelujah, I have problems. Oh, you know, Paul is telling us that he's in a battle. And it's not a battle with religious leaders. It's not with the pagans. It's not with people who are trying to stone him. It's not even the devil coming to attack him. There's no outward enemies that he's talking about here. The battle is in with himself. Oh, it is the battle of the flesh versus the spirit. And Paul is telling us that in his heart and in his mind, verse 22, he wants to do good. He wants to do good. But he also sees the struggle with his flesh. Verse 24, he says, wretched, miserable man that I am. You know, when God gives you a really good look at where you are and who you are, sometimes it's not really pretty. Oh, God. But verse 25, there is hope, but there's a battle. There is hope, but there's a battle. Galatians 5. Adam, go ahead. And I'm sorry, this one's really small too. I'm going to read it, but you know, if you have your Bible, this is Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh craves. That's a good word. That's a good description of the flesh. You know, our heart cries out to God through the Spirit, but the flesh, there's a craving. There's a lustful craving. That's a really good word there. Craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. And then he gives this laundry list. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. That word debauchery could be better translated sensuality. And when we say sensuality, it's not so much like in a sexual thought as it is indulging your senses, your eyes, your taste, your touch, your feelings. In the world, before I was saved, I just was ready to indulge myself in whatever my flesh wanted, that sensuality. Idolatry. Do you know, idolatry today, we don't see many people bowing down to idols in our country, but boy, do we have idolatry. And it's anything that you give your heart to that takes the place of God, where you put your heart, your time, your energy, and your attention to. That is an idol. Sorcery, better translated witchcraft, and there's a surprising amount of witchcraft in the United States. It's amazing. But the essence of witchcraft is really the spirit of control. And when people seek to exert control over other people and their lives, that is the spirit of witchcraft. Hatred. Oh, boy. Discord. Jealousy and rage. Rivalries. Divisions. Factions. Sounds like our country. And envy, drunkenness, and the rest. So and the like. There's a great big et cetera at the end. In other words, and lots more that we don't need to talk about. But there's a good laundry list. And he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who practice, and notice the word practice. That's an important word. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that we don't sin. We might fall in some of these things, but if you don't practice it, they're talking about people who are giving themselves over to that kind of a lifestyle and practicing that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And if you want to look more into all of those wonderful fruits of the Spirit, I would ask you to go on our website and go back about 4 months. We did a study of every one of those fruits of the Spirit. Go back and listen to each of those as we kind of took a week and studied each one. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, but you know what? The flesh doesn't want to stay dead. That's why we're called a living sacrifice. Since we live by the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. So Paul is really giving, and Paul is writing this to the Galatian church. He's saying, I know there's a battle. And he just spells it out so well. For the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other so that you do not do what you want. Oh boy. And there is that conflict again. So, in our lives, there is a battle. And it's a battle between the good nature of God and the evil nature of this thing that we live in. Paul says, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and the things I want to do, I don't do. Now, Paul's not saying he's falling headlong into sin. He's not just, I'm a wicked, evil person. That's not what he's saying. But he's talking about those persistent, nagging, reoccurring battles that we have with our sinful nature. And I can really relate. I think you can probably really relate too. We have these battles. It may be different, but I have persistent areas in my life that pop up that I have to battle against. And I don't like it. So what do we do? So what do we do about the persistent problems and sins that we battle against? When I was a young man and as a young boy, I had some real problems. I was emaciatedly skinny. Now you say, Brother Dave, you're still pretty skinny. Not like I was as a kid. You think I'm skinny now? And don't think that all the other kids didn't notice. Oh boy. It started to happen. I loved to go to the town swimming pool. And until the day when the kids started pointing at me, look at him. Wow, he is skinny. What is wrong with him? And then it just, you know, and oh, bullied mercilessly. Oh, I had a gym teacher who would make me a public example in front of the whole class. Oh, he would take little tiny me and pit me against the biggest, strongest guy in the gym class, and I'd have to wrestle him. And of course, the guy would take me down. I couldn't do it, you know, and all the kids would laugh and rah. Oh, honestly, I grew up with a lot of hurts. I'm not telling you this so you can feel, oh, poor Brother Dave, Pastor Dave, oh, poor him. No, I'm trying to be real with you because you have those things in your life too. We got stuff, and I grew up with a lot of hurt, and I was angry. And I was angry with those kids. I was angry at that teacher. And I got really angry with the guy in the mirror. I didn't even want to look in the mirror. I didn't want to look at myself. Oh, man, you are ugly. And, it's just all kinds of things. Oh, and struggled with my brother had a stack of porno in his closet. I shared a room with him. He was about 9 years, 10 years older than me. Well, I was a little kid. Do you think I wasn't going to find it? And I didn't know any better. And I'm like, whoa, what's this? Whoa, what's that? And I, at a very young age, I got involved in porn. So, had a lot of struggles. But thank God, when I went to college, I got saved. Somebody came and preached the gospel to me, and I was at a point where I needed the Lord, and I was just, my mom had been faithful to take me to church every Sunday, taught me that the Bible was God's word, and my heart was crying out. And I got saved, but I got saved, and I came with all my baggage. When God called me, I said, yes, Lord, and I picked up all my bags, and I marched into the kingdom of God and put them down. How many of you marched into the kingdom of God with your bags? Oh, yeah. Oh, and you know what? Those people that hurt me, I have forgiven them. I have forgiven them. And then, you know what else? I've forgiven them some more. And then I forgave them again. 40 years later, I'm driving to work, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking about it, and I'm getting mad again. God, I forgave those people. What if some of them, they're dead. I'm mad at dead people. And you know what I do? I forgive them again. Does that mean that I'm walking in unforgiveness? No! You know, forgive somebody 100 times and the next day you're mad at them again. Oh, it's just a, you know, and as a guy, and I'll be really real with you, as a guy in a sex-soaked culture who had a problem in the past, I have to be really careful what I look at, what I think about, and I have to battle and fight to keep my mind and my heart in the right place. And if you're a guy in this church, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know it's true. And ladies, I don't mean to exclude you, but, oh boy, I can't speak for a lady. So here we go. So what do we do about these persistent problems and sins that we battle against? And I dare say, sometimes maybe we fall into, maybe we screw up, maybe we do things wrong. Do you ever sin? I sin. You know, I have the little kid that's just in my face every single day, and finally, I lose my patience. Will you sit down and be quiet? And I scream in some little kid's face. It's happened, you know, I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's happened. And then here's this kid, and I have to go and apologize to him. Oh, God, it's not fair. This little monster, and I have to apologize to him. You know, maybe you had a big fight with your wife. I don't know. Or maybe you lied about something. Ooh. You know, I don't know. The ideas are endless. But I don't want to spend our time today on that. I would like to give you some keys today for victory over the flesh. And this is not an exhaustive list. Oh, I mean, there's a lot of things. And as you listen to this, you might think, well, he didn't talk about that, or you didn't talk. I'm giving you the things that the Lord has just went, ding, talk about this today. So, keys to victory in the battle. Number one, and this sounds a little negative. Wait for it. You'll understand. Understand that there is no victory from the battle. That sounds kind of bad. That sounds a little depressing. You know, the devil will come and accuse people. He'll come and accuse your brain. You'll be in a struggle with something. And he'll say, look, you're supposed to be a Christian, but you're still battling with that problem. You know, you lied, You smacked your toe when you said a bad word. You know, you're still haven't forgiven that person. You have evil thoughts. And you know, you think, how can I be victorious over something if I'm still battling with it? Where's the victory? God never told us that we would be free from battles. God never said that you were going to be free from battle. If you're a Christian, you're in a war. You're in a war with your flesh. You're in a war with the powers of darkness in this world. And you are going to have battles. However, God does not give us victory and we never have any more battles. He gives us victory in the battle. In the battle. When you're fighting, that's a victory. You're not just in the world giving in to whatever. You're in the battle and God is at work in your heart and life, and the Spirit of God wants to bring you into liberty. And yes, you're fighting against your flesh. Whoa! Battles in and of themselves are not wrong. Jesus had battles. The devil came to him and tempted him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The scripture says that Jesus was in all ways tempted like as we are. Except he didn't sin. He didn't fall into it. But he understands. Oh, he had to battle the enemy with the word of God. But Pastor Dave, I screwed up. I messed up. I looked at something I shouldn't have. I said something terrible. Well, did you repent? Are you convicted? Did you repent? Did you get back up again? That's the deal. Proverbs 24:16. The righteous person falls seven times and gets back up again. Now, that wasn't talking specifically about sin, but you understand the principle. The righteous man falls seven times and he gets up again. So if you mess up, get convicted, repent, and get up. And move on. And what's the really great thing about all that scripture we read in Romans 7? It's followed by Romans 8. And in the original language, there is no chapter delineation. It goes right into the next verse. What's the next verse? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And you know, the kind of, it's kind of a corny, trite little saying. When you see therefore, you got to find out what the therefore is there for. Well, it's talking about what was just talked about, the battle with the flesh. If you're battling with the flesh, there is therefore now no condemnation. And if you mess up, you repent, you get up, and you walk on. And you thank God and you say, God, what am I learning from this now? Ooh. Do not allow the devil or your own heart to contemn you in the battle. This is not a license to sin. It doesn't mean, oh, I can go and do whatever now because there's no condemnation. No, we know that's not. It's meant to be an encouragement for us to know that as we battle, the Lord is with us. The very battle is an indication that God is at work in you. So understand that the battle, first of all, the battle is there's victory in the battle. Number two, change your focus. Dakota will like this. This is a science fact. The diameter of our sun, our solar system's sun, is 865,370 miles in diameter. In other words, it's really big. Really big. Our sun is huge. Now, here I have a little tiny quarter. compared to the size of the sun, this is nothing. But if I put the quarter up to my eye, it can block out the entire sun. It can actually block out you. I don't have to look at you anymore. And if I'm busy looking at this, then I can't see that huge, enormous, gigantic sun. In battling with sin, shortcomings, and problems, if you focus on it, focus on that thing. You look at it, you concentrate on it, you're battling it, and oh, that's all you're going to see. That is all you're going to see. The scripture says the lamp of the body is the eye. Matthew 6:22. Your attention to the problem will magnify it, making it look bigger and stronger than God. Do you understand what I'm saying in that? Have you ever so wanted to have victory in an area of your life that you concentrate on it so much that it looks almost impossible? Numbers 13, the Lord told Moses to send spies and check out the land of Canaan. I'm not gonna turn there. We can just quickly talk about it. I don't think I put it on the screen. In verses 17 through 20, he tells them to go and send spies out into the land. Check it out. Go look it over. And so they returned with their report. In verse 26 of that chapter, they said, the land is good. It flows with milk and honey. But then they said, the people are strong. They have walled cities. The men are huge. They're like this tall, and we look like teeny little grasshoppers. Verse 30, Caleb comes running up, and he says, he quiets everybody. He says, no, let's go up and take it right now. God is going to help us to do it. We can do it. The other spies drew a conclusion from what they had seen. We can't. We can't. We can't go up. They're too strong for us. We look puny in their sight. Numbers 14:6. Joshua and Caleb, the whole congregation is like, oh, God brought us out into the wilderness to kill us. We're all going to die out here. All the inhabitants of the land are too strong. They're going to come and beat us into the ground. And they're howling and whining. And that's just what the scripture says. Oh! And Joshua and Caleb run out and they quiet the people. And they say, no, we can take this. God is going to fight for us. We're able to do it. The Israelites were intently focused on the problem, and it looked insurmountable, and that's all they were looking at. Joshua and Caleb had seen the problem, but their focus was different. Their focus was on God and the sure promise that God had given them. The sure promise that God had given them. Philippians 1:6. Grab on to this. We all know it. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is going to finish his work in you. How do we know? He promised right there. And you can remind yourself of that every day. You can remind God of it if you want to. He already knows, but he won't mind. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Go ahead, Adam. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, who strengthens me. Oh, so when you have a problem, make sure that your focus is on God and what he is able to do. I got to find something here. I received a letter yesterday when I was preparing this. Oh, God is so good. I received a letter somebody I've had opportunity to minister to and with a little bit some time ago, was part of a church situation, very, very hurtful, horrible, horrible thing, and they ended up leaving the church, and it was a very dark, terrible time for them. And I had written them, and I got a response. They said, "Over time, we've forgiven all those involved, though the forgetting part has proved more difficult. Sometimes the emotional pain was far worse than that of the physical pain, as these were our friends and church family. To heal from the repercussions of the above took quite some time, and we had to take our minds off the situation and put all our focus on Christ. If we kept on thinking about the situation, then it only built up anger and hurt. We gave all our problems to the Lord, and over time, He calmed the storm within us." That was the letter I got yesterday. Oh, I was so blessed to read that. When you face problems, change your focus and put it upon God. The times where I have battled things, when I can look heavenward and begin to praise God in that battle and worship Him and acknowledge Him, that's where the victory is. That is where the victory is. Oh, glory to God. Concentrating on the problem is like pouring gas on the fire, but concentrating on God puts Him in charge. Whoo! Number three, change your position. That doesn't mean get up and turn around. This is kind of an extension of the last point. When we're fighting, struggling, and walking it out, we can feel really weak, feel really inadequate. Judges 6:11. "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite," what a name, "as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites." So, what's Gideon doing? Threshing wheat in the winepress. So he's way, way down where he can hide because he's terrified that the Midianites are going to come and find him and take away all of his harvest. So he's hiding down there, beating his wheat. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, valiant warrior.'" And I think Gideon did this. I think he went, "Who's he talking to?" He's down there beating his wheat and hiding. "Valiant warrior." "Then Gideon said to him, 'Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did the Lord not bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian.'" Well, he didn't mention that the land had fallen into idolatry and they turned away from God and all of that. But, "And the Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in the strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?'" Wow. Who was God looking at? "But he said, 'O Lord, how am I to save Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house.' Yet the Lord said to him, 'I will certainly be with you, and you will defeat Midian as one man.'" Gideon saw a guy hiding in the wine press. God saw a valiant warrior. Gideon saw a puny little guy in a small town, small family, who couldn't do anything, and God said, "You're mighty and powerful, and I'm going to send you." Wow. So who's right? Gideon or God? Well, we know, it's obvious. God is right. Do you know that God does not see as man sees? God does not see you the way you see you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Kate, can I tell on you? Last week, Kate came up and we were praying for her. And as we were praying for her, I heard the Lord say, Kate is a threat to the kingdom of darkness because God has made her a warrior. It was something like that. And I looked at her and I thought, you probably don't see yourself in that way. And she's like, well, you know, I said, but that's the truth. That is the truth. Oh, glory to God. That means we need to stop seeing ourselves the way we and the world sees us and start seeing ourselves the way God sees us in the position that God has put us in. Hey, Brother Ed, I'm going to ask you to help me one last time. We got to wrap this up. I don't want to go too long. I have sent this around before. Ray, would you help me too? Would you mind passing? I have sent this around again, and I'm going to keep sending it, and I'm going to keep sending it, and I'm going to keep sending it. This is like the preacher who kept preaching the same sermon over and over, and the people said, why do you preach the same sermon? And he said, I'll preach something different when you finally get it. But I'm telling you what, this is something that I could stand to read every single day. And what I'd like to ask you to do is indulge me. I want to hear this. I want you to hear this coming out of your own mouth. Could we read down this list and then we're going to pray and get out of here? We're not going to read all of the scriptures. There's no way we have time to read all the scriptures. But that's your homework. Go home and read the word that goes with these things. This is going to talk about who I am in Christ. Let's read it together. Number one, I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. All things have become new. Well, you know, becoming. I am in Jesus. Jesus is in me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Believe it. I am a child of the King. I am a co-heir with Jesus. That means you're a prince. That means you're a princess. Wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? All Jesus bought and paid for is my inheritance. Oh, God. I am loved. Read that again. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am united with Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with Him. I was buried with Him. I was raised with Him. I am seated with Him in the heavenlies far above all rule, all power, all authority, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Wow, we could stop right there and explode, be so full. I am carry the authority of Christ. I have authority in the spiritual realm over the power of darkness, in Jesus' name, of course. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. All things work together for my good because I love God and I am called according to His purpose, which is for me to be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I have a destination. I am going to heaven. Where I go, God goes. I am a carrier of God's glory. Where I go, the spiritual atmosphere changes. Ooh. I am a fisher of men. Oh, and the list could be this long. Oh, can you take this and meditate on it, and read it, and look up those scriptures. Some days, I just take this out and I read it out loud to myself. I just go down the list, and then the next day, I go down the list. I used to carry a list of this kind of thing in my pocket and read it every day. Oh, change your position. Know that you're going to have a battle. There's victory in the battle. Change your focus. Change your position. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you today that though we have this flesh, oh God, you are greater, and you're able to help us to battle and to win those battles. God, in Jesus' name, we can walk it out. And Father, in the days where we have a bad day and it seems like those battles become so much stronger and harder, God, you can give us grace. And Lord, when we screw up, we can repent and we can turn and come to you, and you cleanse us, you wash us again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Help us today in the areas we struggle with, God, and those things that come back, that you would give us grace to walk a little farther, a little deeper, and help us to know really who we are in Christ. Father, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you want prayer today, we're here to pray for you, and we're here to believe God to move in your life. If not, then God bless you. I hope you have a great week. Enjoy the Super Bowl if you're headed to that. God bless you. If you would like prayer, please feel free to come up now, and we'd be happy to pray and believe God with you. Have a good week. God bless you.